Before I start my presentation, I just wanted to say that I'm a keen promoter of the National Library, and I really like to take any opportunity to show off the building and the objects that we have in the collection. So during the course of my presentation, you'll see a lot of images, and if you like them, you can see the references in my paper, which is available on the PKP conference site. Well, during the course of 2005-2006, the National Library of Australia, together with the Association for the Study of Australian Literature, trialled an online open access journal publishing service. And our intention was to better understand what it means to host such a service. So this paper highlights the process of working with the Association to migrate their scholarly journal, Jazzle, to an online format. And the open source system we're using for this trial is obviously Open Journal Systems. And the service delivery as hosted by the library is called Open Publish. So I will focus on the management and implementation of this online journal. So who are we? Well, reading the library's direction statement, you'll see something like this. The National Library of Australia is the country's largest reference library, and our role is to ensure that documentary resources of national significance relating to Australia and the Australian people, as well as significant non-Australian library materials, are collected, preserved, and made accessible either through the library itself or through collaborative arrangements with other libraries and information providers. So everything that John Walensky said yesterday in his keynote address, the library loves to do. We love to make things accessible, we love our users, and we really like using open source software. In fact, we have made a point of doing that for our new information architecture that we'll be running at the library. The library employs about 450 staff, and if you look at the organisational chart on the website, you'll see that we're represented by quite a few divisions. And the branch responsible for the project under discussion is the web publishing branch, one of four branches within our IT division, which is quite big. It consists of 45 members. This is the web publishing branch, which consists of 7 staff members, and our skills range from information architecture through usability and web design to project management. And our role is to provide support to library business areas in contributing high-quality content to the library's website and intranet. And we provide a framework for publishing web content, and we champion best practice in web design and development. So what is our interest? This image, by the way, was taken in 1968 when the library opened. The photograph is by Max Dupin, a well-known Australian photographer. And I must say the reading room hasn't changed at all, other than the introduction of computers. Well, the National Library holds a vast collection of books, journals, newspapers, and other objects, and thousands of users access information both online and in print format. And in this reading room, there's a range of books on the display shelves, and amongst these is a selection of journals. Now, I'm not a scholar, I thought, well, let me go and find out what it is that distinguishes scholarly journals from other books. Well, journals are produced by scholarly association or society, and the articles are reviewed by their own peer group. The focus of the content is specialised, the readership is small, but journals are the lifeblood of the academic community, both in terms of their intellectual output and their importance to academic advancement. And they can be published annually or on some other regular basis. But most importantly of all, to their loss, unfortunately, they are produced in very small numbers and for that reason can be uneconomical to maintain. We feel that these issues create an opportunity for a new model for scholarly publishing, and this model could address the following. The growth of scholarly output, academic output which needs to be both accessible and sustainable in the future, an opportunity for users to review and comment on writing, and most important of all, global access to the intellectual property within the content. And this lovely map was done in about 1600. We feel that open access publishing offers this alternative model, as open access publishing has flexible and scalable characteristics. So what essentially is an open access publication? Very simply, it's in digital format, it's available online, it's accessed free of charge, and it's generally free of copyright and licensing restrictions, although I must say that we chose to use the Creative Commons license for the journal articles that we host. So why is the library interested in open access publishing? According to the library's desired outcome statement, our objective is to establish new ways of collecting, sharing, recording, disseminating, and preserving knowledge. And we want to ensure our relevance in a rapidly changing world by participating in new online communities. And for that reason, the library decided to engage in this open access journal hosting trial, which we called Open Publish. So what was the process? Well, our process started in October 2005 with a meeting between the library and the Association for the Study of Australian Literature. And on this picture, you can see the first team in the black and white photograph taken in the late 60s. The gentleman on the left is Philip Mead. The lady at the top is Susan Lever, and the one under her is Barbara Millich. And that was the first editorial team that we worked with. Well, their association promotes Australian writing. And obviously, they aim to increase awareness in the wider community by holding conferences and publishing their journal, which they call Jazzle. This journal consists of essays based on conference papers and book reviews, and the association publishes the journal annually and prints a very small quantity of books. In fact, at the time, they only did 350 copies. So at the time of the meeting with the library, the association recognized that their publishing model is not sustainable. They were keen to try out new methods of production and dissemination, and the library was keen to participate as they saw this as an opportunity to acquire content at the time of creation. That's probably the most important point of this whole paper, is that the library recognised how important it is to acquire content, especially digital content, at the time of creation, because it cuts out so many of those library processes that I'm sure you're all familiar with, like cataloguing, indexing, and all the rest of that library business. I mean, it still has to happen to a small extent, but it doesn't cost and it doesn't take up as much time. And the library also felt that it has a role in hosting scholarly Australian online journals that may not have a natural home elsewhere. So we mutually agreed to run a trial using the OJS software, and our project team was Susan Lever, that's her in the larger photograph, and my colleague Stephen McPhillips, the systems administrator, and myself. And initially the three of us met only twice to set up the process. Susan and I spent a few days working together, and for the rest, we managed at a distance using email and the telephone to communicate. We set ourselves some very modest goals. We decided to upload one previously published Jazzle volume to test the OJS workflow and processes, and we committed ourselves to publishing one new volume with the association. We had three milestones along the way. The first was to install the OJS software on a library server. The second was to establish a production service, and the third was to develop a sustainable model for working with the Jazzle editorial team. And I'm glad to say we comfortably reached all three milestones and even took on two further journals as part of the trial process. So what did we do? Well, we invited members of the association to take part in the process, and we involved them, and they collaborated by taking on editorial roles that we're all familiar with in OJS. But we worked at a distance over a dispersed area in Australia with participants in Ballarat, Perth, Hobart, Wagga Wagga, Sydney and Canberra. And we worked towards enabling the editors to manage the process. So our plan was to have one volume online by February 2006. This was about 4 months later after we started the trial, in time for the ASL executive meeting and conference. And as it happened, we managed to upload all four back issues by that deadline. At the meeting, we demonstrated the site and ran a workshop for the then editors, the ones you saw previously, so that they could take over the journal. Their goal was to publish a new journal using OJS to manage the process, so they were going to do this by themselves. And we set ourselves a target to have that published in time for the association's July 2006 conference. So what were the experiences? Well, from the library's point of view, the trial was easy and progressed smoothly, and the demands on our time were very little. I spent approximately the equivalent of 1 day a month helping the Jazzle team if and when necessary, and Stephen, the sys administrator, spent even less time looking after the technical aspects of the service. So it was very easy from our point of view. The journal team experienced online management of their publication for the first time, and for some of them, the notion of uploading and downloading information and documents was a bit of a challenge. Others embraced the system very well. And I think that the whole Jazzle team saw the benefit of having a single online point of management. Anybody who's been in publishing will understand the next statement. No more lost files or incorrect version documents. No more scrabbling in desk drawers to find referees' reports. And no more arguments about missed deadlines. Some of the Jazzle team were disinclined to cast off the print version and general print limitations of their journal. Others saw the opportunities in just-in-time publishing where there's no need to wait for a complete journal to go online. and these different journal business models are still open for discussion within the various editorial teams. So what did we achieve? Well, we created a look and feel for both the open publish service, which I showed you a few slides back, and for each hosted journal, and we personalized Jazzle, reskinning the site by means of a simple banner color. We commissioned a designer to produce a site design that was simple and sustainable to cater for any future journals. If by lucky chance a journal has a layout editor with some HTML and CSS skills as part of their team, they can customize and further develop their particular journal, but we wanted to make it as simple as possible for incoming journal managers. The Jazzle team liked their banners so much that they modeled their new print editions, because they were still producing print books, they modeled the front cover design on the same style as the banner of OJS. So here you can see the first and second volumes that they produced once they were up and running. Jazzle is only one journal within the Open Publish trial. Early in the project process, one of the Jazzle editorial members asked whether the library would consider hosting another journal in which she has an interest. And we agreed, as we thought it a good idea to experience an increase in demand on the service. So early in 2006, we created a space for the Australasian Journal of Victorian Studies and started working with their editorial team. Sadly, the editor fell ill, which put a halt to their development, but I'm pleased to say they're now back on track. And as you can see, they have even more personalized their site with the addition of a graphic in the banner, and they've used a soft background color, which you can't see, unfortunately, in the slide, for the body of the site. And at the time of writing, and now currently, they're processing their first submissions, and they plan to have their first online journal available later this year. In the middle of 2006, we were approached by the Menzies Centre for Australian Studies, King's College in London, and they had also heard about Open Publish, and they wanted to participate in the trial process. Their journal, Reviews in Australian Studies, consists of book reviews of Australian publications. After a brief correspondence with the editor and a tiny bit of support from me, their editorial team took charge of their journal, and since the middle of last year, and by the time of writing, they have produced 10 volumes online. Just as an aside, during the course of last year, one of the projects that we added to our list of tasks was to revise the versions and context that come as part of the standard OJS reading tools. And we developed a lightweight project plan to explore a set of tools that would be more helpful and more specific to our set of journals. We felt that people didn't know what the reading tools were and weren't really using them. So our thinking was to implement this set of reading tools in Jazzle, and this is just the humanities, and then extend the list to all journals in Open Publish so that any incoming journals would get this as a package. And I worked with two library staff members to review and assess the existing humanities reading tools. The original 15 contexts were, I don't know if I need to read them all, I'm sure you're all familiar with them. So what we did, we agreed that this list was too long and that some of the contexts should be eliminated. And the project team felt that it would be better to name the context something meaningful that all Open Publishers users could understand. Because there were things like teaching files. Nobody knew what teaching files meant, or you know, media reports or pay-per-view. Some people might not know what that meant. So they nominated searches that are relevant to the Open Publish community, and we engaged a student from within the Jazzle team to make the changes. She removed those contexts that we felt were no longer relevant and replaced them with a new list. And she entered all the metadata into OJS and wrote short introductory texts for each search. The only thing she couldn't do was to insert the correct search URLs, and this will be done one of our team. So here you can see the list of, I think this is the, is this the list of book searches? We condensed the 15 down to 8 lists, and our new list is now quite simple. It's books, book reviews, dictionaries, dissertations, journal articles, literary criticism, news, and research tools. And just to give an example, book reviews consists of Austlit, and in brackets behind it, subscription required, because we felt it was very important to let our users know when they would have to pay, when they wouldn't be moving onto an open access site. Early modern literary studies, Guardian, London Review of Books, The Medieval Review, The New York Times Book Review, and Times Literary Supplement. So it's a mixture of British, Australian, and American references. So what is our governance model? I'm sure most libraries like to write policies. I know that the National Library of Australia certainly does. So we agreed that the journal articles needed some sort of form of governance. And we also agreed at the time, she doesn't still work at the library, by the way. This was taken in 1905 or something, a bit later, 1930s, I think. At the library, we agreed. We sort of tussled with the idea of what are we actually doing? Because we're not publishers. We're hosting this service. What are we going to do with the journal articles? So we agreed that they should form part of the library's collection. And I think that's quite a significant decision as well. Any new articles that are hosted in the system automatically form part of the library's collection and everything that's associated with that. So in other words, they preserved, archived, etc. And we also thought it important to develop a set of criteria to assist potential journal publishers when they were considering whether they were suitable, or for us to consider whether they were suitable for inclusion in Open Publish. And as John said yesterday, we really don't want to put up inhibitors. We want to enable people to use these services. So the hosting of a journal with an Open Publish service is made on the basis of the following three selection criteria. It is an open access journal with scholarly content. The content is distinctly Australian, and the journal does not have a home with any one of its affiliated institutions. Very simple. Our business plan or hosting policy, the objectives of the Open Publish service at the National Library are to provide practical knowledge of online journal publishing issues, improve access to Australian journal content, and develop a suitable model for the deposit of future online publications, and work collaboratively to produce an online open access journal. We also wrote some key roles and responsibilities when working with new journal publishers, or how we would hope to work with them and how they should hope to work with us. And those really cover some of the traditional publishing roles as well, so I won't go into them. But I think what's more important is, what did we learn? What did we learn in this process? Well, we were very pleased with the way all the collaborators engaged with the system, even though for many of them this kind of workflow and process was new and strange. They all rose to the challenge, I must say. And what's most gratifying, I think, is the access to their work, to their articles, and to the research. So the mantra is the importance of access. So for an academic using Open Publish, the number of times his or her article is accessed or viewed is important. So I thought when I was writing this article or this paper that it would be interesting to snapshot how many people have downloaded articles from various journals. So I looked at reviews in Australian studies, and I looked at a period of less than 3 months. I looked at one volume, volume number one, number nine, which was published on the 23rd of the 3rd, and I looked at it on the 15th of June. The volume consists of 10 reviews, and there was an average of 516 downloads per article. I looked at Jazzle. I looked at it over a period of 2 months. On the 1st of June, I looked at the special issue, which was published on the 2nd of the 4th. This volume consists of 12 articles plus supporting pages like editor's note, etc. And over that period, there was an average of 541 downloads per article. My arithmetic's not very good. I'll leave it to somebody else to work out what that total was. But I think that's astonishing. They're particularly good figures if you compare Jazzle's 541 views per article in 2 months to their print journal with a run of only 350 copies a year. So what was the feedback from the users? Well, once we published Jazzle online, we received positive feedback from many users. Peter Kirkpatrick, who's the president of Azzle, had this to say. I'm writing to thank the National Library profusely for your commitment to bringing Jazzle online through the library's website. This is a major achievement for us, one that will take the study of Australian writing to an even greater audience. And Carl Bridge, who's the editor of Reviews in Australian Studies, had this to say when I quoted him the access statistics. That's fascinating information and quite gratifying. All I can add is that we've had several unsolicited emails from happy readers who are delighted with the range, quality, and immediacy of the journal. But not all the feedback was good, and I like this one. I'll have to read you this. Michael was a reviewer who was very frustrated when he wrote the following to Susan, the editor of Jazzle. You've done virtually everything for me except you can guess what, but it seems you needed to do that too. I still can't access the bloody thing, and having set aside time to review the essay now, I'm massively pissed off. Not your fault, no suggestion that it is. I got to the Jazzle website, thanks to the passwords, etc., but still can't find the bloody animal. So, if you want me to review it, please be kind enough to attach it to a simple email and send it to me. I'm sure Jazzle is operating in terms of some international best practice, but frankly, I have reviewed for a number of international journals and never, but never, have encountered such a lot of crud in my life. Sorry, but that's the way I see it. The essay, judged from the abstract, certainly sounds interesting. Luckily, that was in the minority. So in conclusion, I have to tell you the story about this slide quickly. This is me on the left with my husband, son, and my sister. Last year on my 50th birthday, we climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And it was terrific. It was an amazing experience. So if you come to Sydney, I can highly recommend it. And this is, of course, I felt terribly exultant at the end of the JASL OJS process. So I felt I had to include this slide. So by the time of writing, JASL had more than 230 registered users, and the editors have successfully published 3 new editions using OJS. New members have signed up to the association, and I think it's fair to say that the association has been revitalized by this process. So what did we achieve, finally? At the library, we gained a better understanding of what it means to host an online journal management system. We worked collaboratively to learn the system. We worked successfully at a distance. We managed the process with a very small team at very little expense to either the library or the association. We met all our milestones and exceeded our goals. We drafted a governance policy. We reviewed the reading tools. We promoted open publish at many opportunities. We welcomed new journal publishers to the service. And I think more importantly, we kept the technology well away from the users. So I feel that our combined creative management, together with this disciplined implementation process, has made us a winning team. Thank you very much.